Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be taking a deep dive into AIM listed Good Energy. We're very kindly joined today by CEO Nigel Pocklington. Nigel, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Good morning, it's a pleasure. Nice to be here.
So we're going to be looking at the progress that Good Energy have made over the past year. We're going to be looking at what has been a year of transformation for the business. We're going to be looking at what that means, and we're also going to be touching on the results that were released earlier on this week. But before we get into it, Nigel, please would you be able to give us, first of all, an introduction to yourself, but also Good Energy, please?
Sure. So Good Energy is actually quite a long-standing business. It's been around about 25 years, and its roots are in originally as a builder of renewable generation assets. So it used to own and operate the UK's leading, wind farm down in Cornwall, and it raised money to do that, literally by raising money for investors and its customers' bills. It's been listed for about 13 years, and whilst our focus has moved away from actually building generation assets, we are usually regarded by people like the Consumers Association as one of, if not the greenest, energy suppliers in the UK. We guarantee to give our customers a 100% renewable electricity and a very green gas product with a high amount of biogas injected into it on behalf of their customers. And we are, more recently, we have exited the generation market. And with that, we have successfully rebuilt, I suppose, our balance sheet into one which has a position of strong net cash. And we're investing some of the proceeds of those sales into building out a exciting new and fast-growing energy services division.
Thank you very much. So looking at the results that were released earlier on this year, the top line was 2023 was a year of significant transformation for the group. And you alluded to it there, Nigel, that, you know, obviously moving away from power generation to a services company. But it would be good if you'd be able to provide some insight into what the measures were that you took over the last year to achieve that.
Sure. I think, I mean, it's a 1 to 2 year story. It starts with the sale of our generation assets at the start of 2022. They were only providing about 15% of the power we sell to consumers, so not the majority of it. And by selling them, we both effectively wiped out all of our long-term debt. There's a little bit of bond debt left, but not very much. And gave ourselves net cash proceeds of well over £20 million to invest. And we've invested that behind installation businesses which install new green energy technologies, which are going to be vital in the energy transition. So we install heat pumps, that was our first one, and we now install solar panels across the width of the south of England now. And in both cases, they are quite specialist operators. They are focused on doing often larger and slightly more complicated jobs, a bit of commercial work as well, so they sustain quite high margins. And we like this partly because it delivers on our company's original mission of decentralizing the fight against climate change, but also because they are services that we can then offer to sort of build on for our customers. So we can offer tariffs, for example, for people selling their electricity back into the grid. And that is absolutely Good Energy's history and heritage.
So Good Energy now, Nigel, is an end-to-end energy service provider. It would be good to get an idea of the significance of this, but both for your customers, but as well as shareholders and what you see for them going forwards.
Sure. You're right. So that's how we're advertising ourselves. In fact, if you live in sort of Bath, Bristol, and along the M4 corridor, you will see this advertising increasingly. We are, you know, a one-stop shop for people who want to make the energy transition and want to work with an ethical and green company in doing so. And so that's how we are positioning ourselves publicly. It's how we're advertising ourselves. It's how we're set up in terms of a sales inquiry coming into the company now, for example. by the midpoint of the year, actually, everything will be branded Good Energy. So these businesses have been bought, often with the management teams staying with them. But they're actually keen to come under the Good Energy brand, because I think, like a lot of smaller businesses, they think rightly that they will get sort of extra consumer trust from being part of a bigger company. So by the middle of the year, they'll all be branded Good Energy. And the offer will be, if you live in the right areas, we can do solar panels, electric vehicle chargers, heat pumps, storage, and give you the tariffs and services to run them.
So I just want to pick up now, Nigel, on the smart export and solar savings initiative, because as part of the end-to-end service, of course, it's a one-stop shop now in terms of the services that you're offering to your customers. You know, first of all, what is the smart export and solar savings, and how important is that going to be for the overall business going forward?
Yes, I mean, there's two sides to this, and if you're familiar with this market, it's very natural. If you're not, there'll be a kind of a load of acronyms that won't make a lot of sense. Let's start with smart export. That is aimed at people who are on what's called the feed-in tariff scheme. And the feed-in tariff scheme was the original incentive scheme for households to get solar generation in the UK. It ran from about 2010 and finished in 2019. And it sets up a sort of a rate at which effectively the grid will buy their energy. We are the number two administrator for the feed-in tariff scheme. It was actually a scheme that Good Energy had a hand in designing and championing. And as an administrator, that's a different business model for us. We're paid £25 a meter by Ofgem to do sort of meter reading, verification, customer service, payments, and the like. And the FIT mark is interesting because it's closed. So the scheme eventually was felt by the 2015 Cameron government to have been too generous in its level of subsidy. So they closed it to future members, but it runs off for 20 years. So actually most of our FIT customers don't actually leave the scheme until mid-2030s. But it has meant that there's not much innovation going to that market. But because it's so important to us, we feel differently. And what Smart Export does is it takes the smart meter generated data and it pays the generators for the actual amount that they export to the grid, whereas the scheme is actually based on an assumption that you just export 50% of your generation to the grid and you keep 50%. And actually, for most FIT customers, who are earlier stage adopters, they don't necessarily have battery storage or electric vehicles and like, they'll be exporting a lot more than that. So we're enabling them to actually get paid for that. For an individual household, that could be of the order of sort of minimum 20 up towards sort of £80 extra a year. But quite a lot of feed-in tariff customers are portfolios of meters and it adds up quite considerably. So it's the first real innovation in the FIT market for a while, and we're hoping to be able to take some market share from people who are made to administrate this because the regulator requires it, but don't actually champion it. So that's what smart export is. It's get paid for what you actually generate from your FIT meters. Solar savings, which is the other product you mentioned, is then for people who've missed out on the feed-in tariff scheme, so who've come on to solar generation more recently. And we're saying there that for people who come on supply with us, as well as for whom we buy some of their export power, then we're offering much more generous rates than the market has traditionally offered. So at the moment, we'll offer you 15 pence a kilowatt hour for your export. Some of the suppliers in the market were down in the mid to low single digits for this. And actually, if you install with us, we'll offer a more generous rate still, because obviously, whilst that is a bit of a loss leader for us, the installation business is definitely worth us having and is growing our business in the right way.
Thank you. So you mentioned there battery storage, which is really interesting because that's a relatively new technology. I mean, is that a new technology for Good Energy? I mean, what does the rollout of your battery storage service look like?
Yes, I mean, it's interesting. I would say about 80% of our new solar installation customers now take a battery as well. And that's really because household battery products have come on leaps and bounds in the last few years. I mean, Tesla are actually major players in this marketplace. Perhaps unsurprisingly, they've got a lot of batteries in cars. So there's a Tesla Powerwall, which in the scheme of things doesn't look that ugly. It's quite slim. It can be put in a garage or on the back of a house quite easily. And so because energy costs are high, it makes a lot of sense, frankly, to avoid buying energy from the grid where you can at the moment.
And so a battery makes every bit of sense. And so yeah, I think from now on, really, you'd expect most solar installations to have a battery as well. And also the technology is now much better in terms of managing this. So you can have a phone based, you know, an app on your phone that just tells you, okay, I'm storing this much. I'm now using my battery. And in the future, we would hope to be able to help people make decisions based on data as to when they're better off, you know, using the grid's power because it's a bit cheaper, when they're better off storing or exporting. And that's one of the exciting developments that we should eventually expect in the energy market in the UK.
So looking at the results, Nigel, that came out, there were some pretty impressive numbers that I saw for ZapMap in terms of user growth. It'd be good if you could speak to that. That was an investment that you made, and it would be good to get, you know, an overview of actually what ZapMap is, you know, the unique proposition that it has, and what are the plans for it going forward?
Yes, so ZapMap is the UK's leading app for electric vehicle drivers. And what it does is it cures range anxiety in theory. So it helps you search for chargers, plan a journey, you know, so you know when you're gonna stop and that you can use the charger. And it helps you actually pay for that charge on a lot of networks. And if you're familiar with this world and you see EV drivers, apart from possibly Tesla drivers at their own chargers, there's a multitude of cards and keys and apps that you need to be able to do to pay for them. So ZapMap takes all that complexity away. And because of the fact that the mapping is so comprehensive, it maps about 95% of the public charge points in the UK. It is pretty much seen as a sort of a generic service by electric vehicle drivers. So there are about a million battery electric vehicles on the road in the UK and another 600,000 hybrid cars. And ZapMap has been downloaded 1.4 million times. It's got 780,000 registered users. And about 330,000 of those use it on at least a monthly basis. So it's got this extraordinarily high penetration of the electric vehicle driver market, and it grows as the EV park, to use the technical term, grows as well. So it's posted about a 45% increase in those numbers over the course of last year.
So what's the strategy with ZapMap? Because it'd be good if you could outline the stake that you have in it. Within the core of Good Energy, do you treat it as an investment? You know, what's the plan with it going forward? I note back in 2022, there was an uplift in the valuation, which fed through into to the profit for Good Energy. You know, is it a business that's independent of Good Energy's core business? It would be good to get an idea of the scale of the integration between it and what you see the plan for it going forward.
Yes, and there's a few things to unpick there, aren't there? So it is an independent business. We actually own 49%, so we're the largest shareholder, but we're not the majority shareholder. Fleetcor, who run the All-Star fuel card, are the other big corporate investor, and some of the founders have got some stakes as well. So it's independently run business based in Bristol, you know, looks and feels like a technology company. Most of the workforce are engineers and developers. And there is some degree of integration. We work with them quite extensively on marketing to electric vehicle drivers because that's a population that is so much more likely to install solar panels. We work with them actually to try and bundle in the subscription to ZapMap app with our electric vehicle tariff. But actually, over time, I would see this as being a separate investment where we kind of collaborate where it makes sense. But otherwise, we're supporting what we think is a fast-growing, you know, energy service opportunity in its own right. And actually, ZapMap's future plans involve investing eventually behind international expansion, which makes a lot of sense for them. They're a technology platform. It doesn't make quite so much sense for an energy supply and service company in the UK. What I would say in terms of the other things you pushed on there, so the history of the business is that it's actually quite long-standing. It was founded in about 2011, 2012 as Next Green Car, a real labour of love from some early adopters in the EV market. We first invested in it in 2019 to try and begin to sort of commercialise what had this business with this sort of app with an extraordinary market position, and subsequently invested in 2022 in a Series A fundraise. That valued the business at £26 million, so our stake at £13 million. And the gain in valuation from what was a very sort of early stage before that is what went through the P&L in 2022. And in a non-operating term, it quite flatters that P&L because obviously there's a big one-off profit gain from the increase in valuation, which isn't present in 2023. So it's on our books at a £13 million stake. And we are in the market with them at the moment for a Series B fundraise to try and fund this international expansion. And we'll know during Q2 what sort of interest we've got.
Thank you very much. So if you may, Nigel, we're going to move on now and look at the results that were released earlier on this week for 2023. So we'll start at the top. So revenue grew 2.4% in the year. How is that expected to evolve in 2024? What were the main influences on the top line this year?
So obviously it's been an extraordinary period in the energy supply market and the energy market in the UK, and we all know that as bill payers, of course. And our revenue and cost of sales lines pretty much move with the both the volume of usage, but particularly the price of energy. So we've seen extraordinary rises in our revenue line in the last couple of years, but it actually slowed down this year to being just up 2.4%. And as the cost of energy falls, I'd actually expect that revenue line to shrink. Now, I also would expect the cost of sales line to shrink and therefore the profit margin to be pretty consistent. And that's what we're aiming for, really, to run a stably profitable energy supply business. But I think anyone looking at our P&L at the moment needs to understand the extraordinary period we've come through over the last couple of years.
Thank you. So, so moving on and just bringing in what we discussed previously with the one-off impact of ZapMap back in 2022. Of course, that the profit was lower in 2023 when you include ZapMap. But when you actually strip that out and you look at the underlying profit, there was a huge gain there in the profitability. You know, are you happy with that gain? Is that a sign of momentum across the business? How does that look for the year ahead?
Well, of course, everyone's always happy with a significant profit gain. And it's true. So I think let's just focus on the numbers here, because if you strip out what was a £7.8 million gain last year in terms of ZapMap's valuation and look at our operating profit, we had operating profit in 2023 of £7.1 million, and in 2022, the relevant figure was £1.9 million. So that's a very significant swing. Some of that is caused really by a one-off gain in the first half of 2023. So at that point, tariffs in the energy market, which whilst we're not on the price cap, is obviously there in the background, were very high because the calculation period for the price cap had been at the end of 2022. And actually quite a lot of the power we'd sourced, so our agreements with small generators, which is how our model works, had been signed earlier, and therefore the costs in our cost sack, as the technical term goes, were lower. So we had an extraordinary sort of period of profitability in the first quarter, really, of last year. In fact, our profit at the half year was 13.1 million. So we've chosen to operate the supply business at a bit of a loss in the second half so that we keep our tariffs more stable for customers. And that's really, what's driven up the number quite so strongly. What we've said in terms of future prospects is that we're expecting a more stable environment for the supply business from here. And it's something we think we can run with a gross margin of around 15% and a net margin in the sort of somewhere in the mid single digits. So a profitable business, but one we're trying to run for stability. And that's because a lot of our investment and our future prospects lie in the growth of our energy services offer, which by 2025, we actually expect to be producing as much profit as the supply businesses, and then outstripping it potentially from there. So I think the main advice I'd have for anybody looking into our P&L is somewhat ignore the revenue line, because it's so much a function of energy prices. We're managing that business for a sort of a margin, if you like, and sort of focus more on the underlying profit story, which I think is a very good one.
Thank you very much. So you did allude to it earlier on in the podcast, Nigel, but there's a huge amount of cash in Good Energy at the moment. If I'm correct, it's 41 million cash equivalents at the end of the period, and just looking at the market cap, 45 million. That's an astounding amount of cash for the business, and I'm sure investors would be interested to know how you plan to put this to work. You've made a number of acquisitions over the last year. Is there any plans to put that to work in more acquisitions? It'd be good to get some insight on that.
Yes, I mean, important to stress that whilst we declare a figure of 41 million for cash and cash equivalents at the end of the year, Not all of that cash is usable for by us for future investment. So, for example, it's about £13 million of customer credit balance in that number at the year end, because they really build up through a period of high energy costs and the start of the winter. That's declining now. We're actually paying people back, really. And you know, contacting them saying, please have some of your money back. We're making it easier to do that. So that will decline to a more normal level. We would expect, we also think we need to retain sort of roughly £10 million in the business as to fund our working capital needs on the supply side. But it does mean we've still got, you know, roughly £10 million of usable cash there. Some of that will go towards our participation in ZapMap Series B, and the rest, yes, is usable in future acquisitions. We've obviously got a template here in terms of the types of businesses we're trying to add to our energy services business. So we will kind of spend a few months just consolidating what we've got and making sure we're operating properly, and then obviously we can look again as to what opportunities there are.
Thank you, Nigel. So to finish off, and this is something I think investors will be particularly interested in, what are the medium and long-term goals for Good Energy? You have alluded to it in the podcast. It would be good if we could summarise and bring those together.
Yeah, I think, in summary, this is a very different business to the one it was 2 years ago or so. So we have a very strong balance sheet with investable cash, and we have a clear strategic direction, which is that we are very much building an exciting energy services division that will offer, you know, the investors into what are structurally growing markets: installation of solar panels, heat pumps, the services that go with running those. And we expect that services division to be really driving our future growth. And as I said earlier in the podcast, sort of passing our supply business in terms of contribution to profit probably by the end of 2025. I think that for us is an exciting future for the company, and means that we'll be, you know, playing a significant part in helping a lot of homes and businesses to make the energy transition over the next few years. And I think we should bear in mind that the nature of our relationship with an energy company for a lot of people is going to change radically over the next 5 to 10 years. There will be, you know, half hourly settlement, to use an industry technical term, which means that variable pricing can come in a lot more. You can benefit from cheaper electricity when it's cheaper on the grid. And for customers who've got solar and storage, there'll be all sorts of products to be built around, you know, selling energy back when you've got it in excess, using your own when energy is expensive. And we're really positioning ourselves to play a key role in that future development of how we work with our energy companies.
That's great, Nigel. Thank you very much for being with us today.
All right.
And thank you very much to everyone for listening. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.